And next, Dr. Art Rosengarten joins us as we talk about tarot cards. He'll explain what they are and so many other things. Next hour, when we take your phone calls, of course, questions for Dr. Art, or you can also ask for a tarot card reading, which he'll pick three cards and give you a real quick reading on that, too. So we'll do all of that. You can do both, question and a little reading, too. And welcome back to Coast Tarot Card Reading. There's magic there. Dr. Arthur Rosengarten is a full-time licensed clinical psychologist and director of the Moonlight Counseling in San Diego. He's been in private practice for more than 40 years. Now, his approach includes Buddhist meditation techniques, dream work, sand play, and other tools of active imagination. Uniquely, Art is also a trailblazer and a pioneer in the therapeutic use of tarot cards in psychotherapy as well. Art, always a pleasure to have you with us.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Great, great.
Do you remember the first time you and I started conversing on the radio? Was it during my Nighthawk days in St. Louis?
Yes, KTRS, yep. I believe. Wow. Yes, it was.
A long time ago. We just lost our other dear guest who came with me, Rosemary Ellen Guiley passed.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I mean, she was 1996, and I think you were right about the same time, weren't you?
A little bit later than that, but around that era, yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you stuck with us, my friend. Oh, yeah. How are things for you?
Excellent. Very good.
We're going to get into a lot of things that you've been working on, but for new people who don't understand what tarot cards are or what tarot is, why don't you explain that?
Okay. Now, tarot came out of the Italian Renaissance, but we don't really know who the first designer was. It's a mystery. Tarot was called by one of the great pioneers, the 19th century French philosopher, Eliphas Levi, a book that informs by making one think. It's a deck of cards with interesting images on them.
How many cards?
78. Playing cards plus, in other words, the 52 playing cards, it's actually 56 of the minor arcana of tarot, and then an additional 22 cards, which are called the, if you pardon the expression, trump cards. But I like to call them the higher keys. And those cards are equivalent to the archetypes of transformation. And my interest as a Jungian psychologist is the kind of archetypal level of the tarot. The archetypes are something that are at the kind of base of the human mind. We all have them. They're identical in all individuals, but we can't know them directly. We can only intuit them through archetypal images. So the tarot is a way of allowing us to open our minds and touch base with a deep part of ourselves.
And when you do tarot, Art, in most cases, obviously, when you're doing it on the phone, you're picking the cards for the individual. So how does that work that way?
Yeah, right. Well, I cannot tell you how it works. I can tell you that it works. It's all about synchronicity and intention. Just the act of going to a tarot reading opens up a certain type of anticipation and anxiety a little bit, and openness to new information. And there's something about the channel of communication between a reader and a querent, or a readee, that connects energetically, and symbols just kind of fall out spontaneously, and they seem to be always accurate. But George, when I say accurate, I don't think that accurate is really an accurate term for what they are. They're really always relevant, and doesn't really matter who picks the cards. The cards themselves will find their relevance or meaningfulness in the present moment.
Interesting.
if a person is open to the divination process, which simply means trusting your natural intelligence and intuition in the present moment, and letting go or suspending all your preconceived notions about things.
How did you get involved in this, Art, personally?
Well, actually in graduate school, if you can believe that, back in the 70s, I was studying Eastern philosophy in San Francisco in my graduate work, and a professor of Indian philosophy actually was also a tarot scholar, and I took a seminar with her, and I found the cards fascinating. I saw that there's tremendous potential for psychotherapy and psychology with these images. So I went on and wrote a dissertation on the tarot. So, yeah, it's been a long time going. That was back in the late 70s.
And we've always talked about if somebody pulls the death card, that doesn't mean they're going to keel over, does it?
Well, no. Well.
Uh-oh, there's a well here. Hey, by the way, did you change your website?
What do you mean?
Wasn't it artrosengarten.com before?
It's got the two names will go to the same place.
Okay. All right.
Artrosengarten.com or moonlightcounseling.com.
All right. We'll get into
either
that too. Okay. I thought, see how aware I am with your stuff?
You're so aware, George.
How about
You're
that?
So aware.
But anyways, back to the
death card. Now, like, you always ask me the same question. I love it. And, you know, what does it mean if I get the death card? And I always tell you the same thing. It means you're going to die. But it doesn't say when you're going to die, George. We're all going to die eventually, I think. And so, in fact, we're all going to experience every one of the tarot cards at some point. It just, when you get the death card, it calls up in that moment the whole issue of death, your whole relationship to death, and you have to experience that directly. And with death, you know, we have so much denial of death that it's always powerful, and we project a lot of our belief systems onto the cards. But you know, the tarot is a great misnomer that the tarot reads the future. It really reads the present on a deep, deep level. And so if you get the death card, it forces you to experience your present moment relationship to the theme of death.
Interesting tag. And Moonlight Counseling, what is that now?
Well, this is my practice in Solana Beach, San Diego, California. Where now I'm primarily teaching tarot classes and workshops. My main practice is at community psychiatry in Del Mar, where, you know, I practice full time as a psychologist.
Okay.
There I do my regular psychological work.
And I bet you're seeing a lot of people with some strange issues these days, aren't you?
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
What's happening?
Well, you know, the whole culture and society is under so much strain and so much pressure, and the basic kind of institutions that we thought were solid and reliable are all kind of collapsing in front of us. And young people in particular coming into this world, they're coming into a very different world than we came in.
They're hugely depressed. I had a study story earlier in my newscast tonight where the millennials, the younger people, are more depressed than people 55 and older.
I saw that, yes. Yeah. Oh, that's true. And addiction and alcoholism is running rampant, much more than it's been, in my opinion. Particularly in that age group, you know, there was a study recently came out that there's a 30% spike in deaths due to alcohol-related causes in the, I think it was the 25 to 35-year-old group. And that's concerning.
That's huge.
The whole culture is under, you know, going through a lot of pressure and change, and it's very unclear, unsure where we're going and what we're really doing here. That's why the tarot is, you know, that's a perfect context for a tarot reading, because
Sure is.
it kind of where you're at your edge, where, you know, you feel like, I don't know, and I want to know because it's important. That little space is where you ask your question for a reading, and you're more likely to get a strong response.
Are there tarot cards, Art, things that will be or could be?
It's a good question. In the short view, it's could be. In the long view, it's would be. Now, whether or not that happens in this lifetime, I can't say.
Right.
But at some point, we all will kind of experience all of these core human experiences.
Do we all have free will here? And by that I mean, if you do a reading for somebody and you tell them a little bit about the future, do they have the capability of altering that?
Absolutely. So,
or would circumstances occur and it'll happen anyway?
No.
Okay.
See, I think that the tarot card reading makes conscious the unconscious. If you hadn't had that reading, they probably, you know, what they're predicting probably would come true. When it comes into consciousness, then we have free choice. And then we can work to prevent that or work against it, but we have to take it seriously. We have to know that we have a propensity or a vulnerability for this particular, you know, constellation to occur now, so we can take measures. If we ignore a tarot reading or we don't even look through a lens like an oracle, there are certain patterns that are preset that are highly predictable.
I remember a Twilight Zone episode where a guy found a genie's lamp and, you know, he rubbed it and the genie popped up and he got three wishes. But the genie warned him and it said, every wish will have its consequences.
Well, that's totally true.
And
that's a great
point. I mean, so like the guy wanted omnipotent power, the genie turned him into Hitler. Stuff like that. Crazy
exactly.
Stuff like that.
Exactly. Be careful what you wish
for.
Yeah,
he wanted tremendous wealth, and he gave him a body with no legs and no arms, but he had all the money in the world.
Yeah, that's great.
And things like that.
Well, see, now what I've learned and the way I work is that the tarot really is always about your spirituality. The tarot always says in different ways, get in touch with your spiritual side. Make your decisions coming from a place that is going to benefit your whole self. And so the tarot has that kind of basic bias that it's always guiding you towards spiritual growth.
We're going to be taking your calls, and Art will do some readings for you next hour here. And your method is what, three cards that you pull?
Yes. You know, normally if people call in to set up a reading with me, that's an 11-card reading, and I have a system where I can actually have them select the cards over the phone or over the Internet.
Okay.
We don't have time for that right now, so I'm going to pick, and that really doesn't make a difference if you want to know the truth. So I will just be the chooser.
And you'll tell us what cards you picked and what they mean and then
exactly.
Do your thing. Okay,
yeah.
Great. It's an amazing ability. It really is. Is it differ from being, let's say, a psychic or a numerologist or somebody or an astrologer?
They overlap in a lot of places. The one of the differences is between certainly a numerologist and an astrologer is they can do their reading without the person there. They go into another text or another system, whereas a tarot reading, a psychotherapy session, even a psychic reading, typically, they require the interactive field between the reader and the readee. There's something about the relationship, live relationship, that's necessary for the transmission to take place.
How has this helped you in your psychiatrist and psychological field?
Tremendously. Well, it's in so many ways, it's just opened up my whole philosophy of life and my recognition of universal patterns and themes that everybody's talking about in different ways. Also, in the course of therapy, often someone will be talking about an issue, and I say, you know, there's a tarot card that kind of captures that image, and I'll pull it out and show it to them, and it becomes a visual marker. You have an illustration that shows the kind of psychological dynamics of what a person may be talking about, a complex relationship. And so it gives a visual kind of hold or picture in your mind of complexity. And so it's very useful in psychotherapy.
Can tarot cards art be abused?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They are old. Well, there's a lot of, you know, there's something I call the shamanistic transference. And this is where the reader invites a transference that they have superpowers and that they know all and they are gifted, which they're not. They're more emissaries and interpreters. The oracle of the tarot is the real, you know, brains behind the operation. But when the ego of a reader is involved in the reading, that contaminates the reading.
You're very reasonable with your readings for people in terms of pricing for what you do. But you've got a special deal for Coast listeners as well.
I do.
Thank you.
I do. And that will be both for readings, which they should contact me on my website, or for my new 10-week seminar that I'm going to be launching called Tarot, Imagination, and Consciousness. This is a remarkable program that is taking place over Zoom online, and I will teach you my method and the tarot A to Z in a very deep way, and by the end of it, you will be a competent tarot reader yourself. Not necessarily to be a professional tarot reader, but to use the cards for your own growth and for your own benefit and those of the people around you. So there's a discount there of $150 for the seminar. Call, and like I say, the way to notify me that you're a Coast listener is on the top of your email or call, just say, George sent me.
Ah, okay.
And that kind of gives it away.
Good. Well, thanks for helping people out. Yeah. Everybody needs a little help these days.
We all do.
Tarot cards. Now, the person who created them, how many years ago?
We don't know.
Hundreds, right? Hundreds.
In the Italian Renaissance, about 600 years ago. Those are the earliest decks we have, but we do not know the history behind them. And so there's a lot of speculation from, there's many theories. I mean, very quickly, there's theories about who were the original places where tarot originated. There's theories about China, Egypt, Fez, Morocco, India, Renaissance Italy, and as far as the transmitters, there's theories about it was transmitted by the returning crusaders, the Knights Templar, the gypsies. But ultimately, the first desire of the tarot, I believe, is the human imagination. It's in all of us. It's the archetypes and the deep part of our psyches. And that's where these images ultimately came from. So it's almost a moot point, like who was the first artist that tapped into that.
That's amazing. I remember an old movie with Kirk Douglas. It may have been called The Viking. We'll talk about that, Art. That kind of ties into this when we come back. We will take your calls next hour with Dr. Art Rosengarten. Your questions, or if you want a tarot reading, or both, we'll do that next hour on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, Art Rosengarten with us. Art, back in 1958, there was a movie called The Vikings with Kirk Douglas.
And that was my favorite classic movie as a child.
Do you remember the mystic lady who used to throw bones and read them? Do you remember that? That's
not only vaguely, but you got me curious.
It's almost like modern-day tarot cards today.
Another form of divination.
Yeah.
It's another way of consulting an oracle. It's just the act of, there's many different types of, oracle work. And they all tap into the same sort of, reading tea leaves, et cetera.
My grandmother used to do that.
Go ahead.
She used to do that, read tea leaves.
Yeah. I mean, it forces you to look at patterns, to trust the present moment, and to be open to thoughts that come up from that experience. They're often very interesting.
Is there anything mystical or magical behind any of this?
Well, of course, George. It's all mystical and magical.
Yep, it is.
And it's interesting because I think there's basic difference between the mystical approach to tarot and the magical approach to tarot. And that really describes the two different kinds of modern schools of tarot readers. The more occult kinds of tarot readers are more interested in the magic side. Magic emphasizes achievements, trying to achieve something magically. The mystical side of tarot, and I would say I'm more of a mystical side of tarot, is about experiences, changes in consciousness, new perceptions, new experiences, not trying to get something so much.
Art, when we take calls next hour, and if people want readings from you, do they need to ask you a question, or do you just go right into it?
They can't. They don't have to. If they have a question and they make it short, I think if we're going to get more readers in this time, I think I will go straight with two cards instead of three.
Okay.
I think more people will get a chance.
What's the difference between using two or three?
Well, you can use as many as you like. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go straight to the heart of the matter and say what the tarot is saying is what you need to do about it or what needs to come out. The first card will represent what's really going on with your question or with you. And the second card will say what needs to come out about it, what you need to do, how you need to relate to it. One, two.
Have you, and how important is the interpreter of the cards, like you? Is it critical?
I would say quite important. One basic rule of any interpreter is they have to be able to point to what they're saying in the card itself. If nowhere in the card is what they're talking about, is they're freelancing, and a lot of interpreters tend to do that. If you can point to it in the card, understanding symbols and symbology, you're probably within the right spectrum of the meaning, and how you interpret it may depend on your own personal style.
We have a guest by the name of Dr. Joe Rosenberg. And he is a expert in liquid luck, as he calls it, by people's attitudes. And he has done experiments, Art, in Las Vegas with students. Mm-hmm. And they will go, and he'll create two different groups, the happy group and the unhappy group. And he says almost every time the happy, upbeat group comes back a winner. The people who are down and depressed, they don't win. Now, how does that work?
It's the power of the mind, George. I mean, it makes total sense. It's all mind, and it's vibration, and happiness is a much wider and lighter and freer vibration. And then unhappiness is really contracted and filled with negative thoughts And it's just a lower level of energy, lower level of consciousness.
Now, when the cards are selected, do they get shuffled before you do that?
Yes.
You have
I have shuffled two decks in front of me completely. I shuffle at least 10 times to fully randomize. There's two levels of readings. Now, the deck I use depends on what level the reading comes in on. It's what I call domestic travel or essential travel. If a person has a very kind of domestic, everyday, ordinary sort of question, say about business or something like that, I'll do a domestic, I'll use the standard tarot deck. If it's more a deeper question, asking about spiritual guidance or wisdom or something like that, I'll use my own deck, which I created, Tarot of the Nine Paths, which is a major arcana deck, and it goes in a, on a much deeper level, just going with all the power cards, all the major cards. So it depends on the question.
When you go out socially, a restaurant or wherever you may go, do you bring cards with you?
Often I have them in my lapel pocket, sure. But
it's a good conversation.
Less so now, but yeah, I often it's just for myself because I have no one to talk to,
Can you do world events based on the tarot
absolutely.
Cards?
Absolutely. In my new book, Tarot of the Future, I show a lot of readings I've done about world events, including Donald Trump and various terrorist attacks.
Can we do one right now based on this situation with Saudi Arabia and possibly Iran?
Sure.
Okay, so let me ask you a question.
Okay.
And the question is, will we go to war with Iran over this apparent bombing of the Saudi oil fields?
Okay. I'll just go 1, 2, 3. It appears that we're at the brink of war. This is the Tower card.
Okay.
And we're in about to move into tremendous chaos and really warfare. That's what this card's about, upheaval. What's really going on, I'll pick the second card, is actually very different, is the Justice card, which is about balance and equilibrium, returning the process to some kind of balanced, just state. So I would say that a lot of this is posturing and political gamesmanship. But I think that there's a process of kind of trying to equalize. There was a transgression, and I think the forces around it are going to try to equalize it and avoid war. And what needs to come out, and so this is a reversal, which is means that we're struggling with this card. This is the Hanged Man, and it means that what we need to do is stand back, detach from the immediacy of it, and kind of reflect on the whole process from a wider perspective. But we're having difficulty doing that. We're in a very kind of knee-jerk reactive moment here, and that's a problem. So I would say it's uncertain to me because there's a real possibility of averting warfare here and just kind of working with it, but we need to stand back and just observe the dynamics, act, impulsively.
So
and that's what the tarot is.
And my impression is that we're on the fence with this then.
Yeah. Well, we should find a way to move through it and deal with it diplomatically with that justice card. But we're on the fence because we don't yet have the perspective. The administration doesn't have the patience or the depth of perspective to stand back and observe all the whole context and come up with a skillful response to it. So that puts us a little bit on the fence right there.
Now, if a president consulted with you, with tarot cards. Mm-hmm. Would people think he was nuts?
Probably. But those people don't really understand what the tarot is. I would think he was an absolute genius, and I invite any president to call me anytime.
Interesting. I know Nancy Reagan was big into astrology.
You know, that's long been a secret goal of mine, is to read a president's tarot cards. It would be extremely valuable and give a leader a much more sophisticated, mm-hmm. wider, and savvy approach to policy if he got the benefit of a full-blown tarot reading. I can guarantee that.
Must they be present or willing to have it done? Because what is preventing you right now from doing
something? Well, I've done Bill Clinton's cards and Donald Trump's cards.
On your own?
Myself.
Right.
No. So that was from my perspective, and it gave me insight about them. But if they want to utilize it, no, they got to give me a call or invite me to the White House.
Because they have to basically invite you in,
because
right?
It's an interactive field, and all it requires is a willingness to participate. The only way a tarot reading doesn't work if someone is insincere. They say this is all
mumbo jumbo and stuff.
Mumbo jumbo. The tarot is not going to talk to them. If they say, yeah, I'd be willing to give it a shot and just be open for that reading, I would say that it's 100% relevant.
So going into a tarot reading, mm-hmm. you need to be upbeat about it and honest with yourself about it.
You could be very nervous because there's a lot going on.
Sure.
But you just have to be willing to enter into the process with sincerity and see what happens.
I mean, if you went into it thinking, this is not going to work, like you were saying, the mumbo-jumbo point, won't work. Or would it?
I've read at these big kind of engineer conferences where I was kind of the talent there, and I'd get a lot of very skeptical scientific minds sitting down, and as soon as we started, completely wiped the smirk off their face, because they saw that the tarot cards were talking directly to them very accurately, and they left generally with a sense of, wow, that was pretty interesting. And so even if you come in with a smirk and a skepticism, if you are willing to say, okay, let's see what it is, you will have a good experience with it.
What would be the greatest card to have in the tarot deck to pull?
The Fool card.
The Fool card, really?
Yes.
How come?
Tarot is the Fool's journey. The Fool is the only card that, you know, is the zero. The Fool is equivalent to kind of the enlightened mind. It's, or the Buddhist emptiness. It's complete freedom and openness in the tarot. It's amazing how the concept of the Fool has degenerated into, a menace or a clown. But the archetype of the Fool is one of kind of the divine child and the completely free, open, higher awareness.
Tell us more now about this 10-week online seminar.
Yeah. I've run it one time now and had a lot of therapists in it. I use the Zoom platform, so it's fantastic. We can see everybody in the class online and interact. And I have my slideshows, which I've been developing for, 20 years. And we do exercises and practice sessions, each one, and progressively I introduce different aspects of the tarot on a pretty sophisticated level, even for beginners. And then there's homework during the week, and I send out materials. It includes a one-on-one reading with me over the phone or on Zoom. And so by the time you finish, you will have you will feel the tarot, and you can really use it for yourself. And if you're already a tarot reader and you want to deepen your skills, this will give you a very deep level of confidence about the way you work with the tarot.
Art, is there something mystical out there, like, maybe a God involvement that is making this happen, selecting these cards for you, for example? Something makes
there's
one card
theory,
there and not.
That's serious. that there's some mystical power that's bringing you to select this card or that card. Of course, I don't know, but that's not my experience. My experience is it's not out there. It's all inside. It's all in us and in our relatives. It's all deep in our human depths. It's called absolute knowledge, Carl Jung called it absolute knowledge, where there is a place inside of us that is like a wise guide that has all the answers and everything you need to know. And this is tapping into that wise guide within.
Interesting take. Art Rosengarten with us. Websites are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. He also has a couple books, Tarot and Psychology, and his latest one is called Tarot of the Future, Raising Spiritual Consciousness. It's an amazing field. Not many psychotherapists, I would guess, use tarot cards in their practice.
No, but that is changing. You know, I've been teaching psychotherapists for 25 years, and I get contacted from people all around the world, therapists, psychologists, you know, really excited because they've been discovering the tarot and they've read my books and they wanted to get more kind of information from me. And I'm saying everywhere. I mean, I did a seminar in India, a seminar in China, filled with therapists from their countries coming in to learn this tool. It's very universal. It deals with pictures. People like it more than they like psychotherapy often. And a therapist can utilize it in their therapeutic practice in various ways.
Oh, it's a great tool. All right, we're going to come back and take readings and questions for you next.